إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فإن خير الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار أما بعد إخواتي وأخواتي في الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته Inshallah, today we are going to take the remaining ahadith on the issue of the punishment of the one who takes intoxicant. وعن ابن عباس رضي الله عنهما قال From Abdullah, the son of Al-Abbas, may Allah be pleased with him, of peace with both of them, he said, كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ينبض له الطبيب في السقاء فيشربه يومه والغد وبعد الغد فإذا كان مساء الثالثة شربه وسقاه فإن فضل شيء أهراه أخرجه مسلم. الإمام المسلم رحمه الله تعالى recorded نعم عبد الله بن عباس رضي الله عنه said the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam at times to prepare an-Nabi. An-Nabi is when a fruit or so is soaked in water. So at times this will be prepared for the Messenger of Allah Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Al-Zabib, this is raisin. So they prepare this istifa in a water skin. فَيَشْرَبُهُ يَوْمَهُ He would drink it that very day. He would drink it that very day. وَالْغَدَى And the following day. وَبَعْدَ الْغَدِي And the following day. فَإِذَا كَانَ مَسَاءُ الثَّالِثَ In the evening, of the third night, sharibahu, he will drink it, wasakahu, and he will give to other people to drink. فَإِنْ فَضَلَ شَيْءٌ After that, if anything was left, أَهْرَاقَهُ He will pour it away. The reason for this is that the Messenger of Allah Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was avoiding fermentation. Because if it becomes fermented, then it becomes intoxicant. And you have been forbidden from taking intoxicant. Anything that intoxicates is called khamr. As the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, kullu muskirin khamrun. Anything that intoxicates is khamr. Anything that intoxicates is khamr. So there is nothing wrong in preparing wine or juice from fruits, either by soaking in water or by extracting the liquid of those fruits. But the most important thing is that the wine, so to say, or the juice must not be allowed to ferment. If it becomes fermented, then it becomes khamr, which is prohibited. So Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu was telling his students that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would prepare wine with an-Nabi. So from the fruit, he would drink that very day, the following day, and in the evening of the third day, he would pour it away for fear of having fermented, because this would mean keeping intoxicant, which is prohibited. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِنَّمَا الْخَمْرُ وَالْمَيْسُرُ وَالْأَنْصَابُ وَالْأَزْلَامُ رِجْسٌ مِنْ عَمَلِ الشَّيْطَانِ فَاجْتَنِبُوهُ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. So Allah said we should avoid the liquors, we should avoid intoxicants. And once something intoxicates, it becomes haram. وَنْ أُمِّ سَلَمَةَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهَا عَنِ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. From Umm Salama, may Allah be pleased with her, from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, قال that he said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَمْ يَجْعَلْ شِفَاءَكُمْ فِي مَا حَرَّمَ عَلَيْكُمْ. Allah has not put your cure in what he has prohibited on you. أَخْرَجَهُ الْبَيْهَقِيُّ وَصَحَّحَهُ إِبْنُ حِبَّانَ. البيهقي recorded this, and Ibn Hibban also included it in his book, As-Sahih, that is Sahih Ibn Hibban. However, scholars of hadith, a lot of scholars of hadith said the hadith is not authentic. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَمْ يَجْعَلْ شِفَاءَكُمْ فِي مَا حَرَّمْ عَلَيْكُمْ. Allah has not put your cure in what He has prohibited unto you. The shame is said to be da'if. However, there is an authentic shame, not this one, but not to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is to Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu. Al-Imam al-Bukhari recorded it in his Sahih that Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَمْ يَجْعَلْ شِفَاءَكُمْ فيما حرم عليكم. Allah did not put your shifa in what He has prohibited. Allah has not put your shifa in what He has prohibited. So Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala reported this معلق in his Sahih. He said, وقال ابن مسعود في السكر. Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu said with respect to intoxicants or things that somebody takes that intoxicates, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَمْ يَجْعَلْ شِفَاءَكُمْ فِيمَا حَرَّمَ عَلَيْكُمْ. This is what in Sahih Bukhari, and the source is also that is with the shaykh. This is in Al-Bayhaqi. So the hadith is not authentic marfu'an to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but it is authentic to Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. And what is clear is that Abdullah ibn Mas'ud could not have said this if not that he had heard it from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that is why the scholars, they said it is not permissible for one to use intoxicant liquor to use them as medication. You can use them as meditation. Based on this statement, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَمْ يَجْعَلْ شِفَاءَكُمْ فِيمَا حَرَّمَ عَلَيْكُمْ. Now, apart from this, one Wa'il al-Qadrani, from Wa'il al-Qadrani, أَنَّ طَارِقَ بْنَ السُّوَيْهِ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمَا. طارق, the son of Suwayj, Allah will give him put on them, سَأَلَ النَّبِيَّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ, asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam an al-qamr concerning al-qamr intoxicants, yasma'uha bid-dawa, that he would produce the dawa for medication. Faqal, the Messenger of Allah said, inna alaysat bid-dawa'in walakin adaa'un, أخرجه مسلم وأبو داود وغيرهما. بس نص الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال إنها ليست بدواء. Intoxicants, liquors are not dawa. They are not medicines. They are not medications. They are rather, they are walakin ada. Liquors, intoxicants, they are what? They are dawa. They are ailments. So this is buttressing the statement of Abdullah bin Mas'ud. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَمْ يَجْعَلْ شِفَاءَكُمْ فِيمَا حَرَّمَ عَلَيْكُمْ. Somebody wanted to use intoxicants or to produce intoxicants so as to use it for medication. The Messenger of Allah said, إِنَّهَا لَيْسَتْ بِدَوَىٰ وَلَكِنْ أَدَىٰ. Intoxicants is not medication. So on that it is not permissible to take intoxicants as a medication. It's not permissible to do that. Now, the use of things that are prohibited. Because when we go back to that asar of Abdullah bin Mas'ud, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَمْ يَجْعَلْ شِفَاءَكُمْ فِي مَا حَرَّمَ عَلَيْكُمْ. It goes beyond intoxicants. Allah has not put your cure in what He has prohibited, generally. We know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prohibits an-najasat, that is the filthy things. Can we make use of filthy things for medication? So the basis is that it's not permissible to use najasat, for instance to use pork, or to use urine, or to use blood, and things that are prohibited, that are najasat, that are filthy. We can use feces, except the feces and the urine of animals that are consumable, like the urine of camels, for instance. This is permissible. And that was why the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam recommended the urine of camel for those people that fell ill in Medina, that had a fever. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam recommended the milk and the urine of camel, and they took it. So from this, a lot of scholars are of the opinion that urine and feces of animals that are consumable, that are eatable, that the urine is what? Is halal, is pure. The urine is pure. So when you take the urine of a camel or the urine of a goat, you are not taking something that is filthy. So it's not the same thing as the urine of human beings, or the urine of animals that are not consumable. This is what majority of the scholars are upon, contrary to the Shafi'iyya. Contrary to the Shafi'iyya. The Shafi'iyya are of the opinion that urine generally is najis. Urine generally is najis. This is a statement of Al-Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah ta'ala. However, what was the response of Al-Imam Shafi'i or the Shafi'iyya to the case of those people that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam recommended urine of camel for? He said, that would be darura. That would be darura. That is, since it is permissible for us to eat dead animals, if there is darura, then if there is an ailment that has affected somebody, and that ailment does not have any cure except urine, then in that case it will be a darura. So Al-Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah ta'ala and some of the Shafi'iyya repeated the case of people taking urine as well as a darura. So with that, they go back to the basis that watch and call the watch is rich, is filthy. How this is said? They go back to the basis that urine is filthy. But what most scholars are upon is that urine of animals that are eating, that their urine is what? Tahir. Is tahir, is pure, is not najis. But urine of animals that are not eating, majority of the scholars are of the opinion that what their urine is what? Is najis. Majority of the scholars. Al-Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala also pointed at the fact that some people did not consider the urine of other animals as what? Najis. Except the urine of human beings. So they all have ittifaq that the urine of human beings is what? Is filthy. Is filthy. There is what ittifaq on that based on the ahadith. But the urine of other animals, majority said what? If they are eating, their urine is pure. Based on what the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam recommended for those people who caught fever in Medina. Why, if it is animals that are not eatable, they liken their urine to the urine of human beings. However, I said some scholars, few, they have the opinion that even that of animals that are not eatable is not the same thing. And Imam al-Bukhari just alluded to this in the Sahih. Oh, Allah wa'ala, the urine of animals that are not eatable is not pure, it's filthy. The urine of animals that are eatable is pure. The urine of animals that are eatable is pure. The urine of animals that are not eatable is impure, is not pure. The urine of human beings is not pure. Just like the feces of human beings. Just like the feces of human beings. So the dungs of animals that are eatable, pure. So if one gets stained with the dungs of animals that are eatable, so it's not considered as if what one has been stained with the dung or with the feces of the human being. So what I'm trying to say in essence is that urine of camels, goats and the like, if they are said to be medicinal, one can take them. One can take them. The urine and feces of animals that are eatable, if it is proven that they are medicinal, one can take them. Now in the recent time they recommend the urine of camels, researchers have established that the urine of camels is medicinal, likewise the milk of camel. So if this is what is established, and it's not something that is said to be filthy in the Sharia, that should be then we can take it. But other najis, the basis is that we cannot use it at all unless, according to a lot of scholars, if there is darura. Why darura? Why darura? They said it is permissible that it's permissible for us to eat dead animal that is najis. To eat dead animal that is najis in order to take care of hunger. Then to take care of cure or to use it as cure. So this will be permissible if there is darura. So when you are asked, what is the urine of eating a dead animal? We say, what? Haram. But if there is hunger, no food to eat. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَقَدْ فَصَّلَ لَكُمْ مَا حَرَّمَ عَلَيْكُمْ إِلَّا مَا اضْطُرِرْتُمْ إِلَيْهِ. Allah has explained in detail what He prohibited on you except what you are compelled by necessity to do. So, and that's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows the eating, consumption of dead animals. حُرِّمَتْ عَلَيْكُمُ الْمَيْتَةُ وَالْدَمُ وَلَحْمُ الْخِنْزِيرِ to the end of the verse. فَمَطُرَّ فِي مَخْمَصَةٍ غَيْرَ مُتَجَانِفٍ لِإِثْمِ فَإِنَّ اللَّهُ غَفُورُ رَحِيمٌ. So whoever is compelled by hunger, not somebody that is willing to commit a sin. Zayra mutajani fi ism. Not somebody that is willing to commit a sin. None of us, Zayra bazin wala aj. Not somebody who wants to transgress or somebody who is interested in it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is what? Is ghafoor. Is forgiving. So, what I'm trying to say in essence is that things that are najasat, that are filth, it is haram for one to use them as medications. It's haram for one to use them as medications. just as it is around for one to take them as food. But if there is a necessity, as you have in the case of Al-Mayta, dead animal, can one do that? Can one eat it? The verse is clear. One can eat it. Now, can we extend the same thing that you have said concerning our hunger? Can we extend it to medication? Can we extend it to medication? So this, some scholars or a lot of scholars said, yes, we can extend it to medication as well. So if there is no cure or no treatment for a particular ailment, except to use something that is najis. So they did qiyas. They said it is permissible for us to eat najis in the time of darura. Then it will be permissible for us to also use what is najis as a treatment. If there is what? Darura. If there is darura. Now let us go back to the issue of intoxicants, alcohol. Then, can we eat alcohol or drink alcohol? So we say what? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forbidden that. حُرِّمَتْ عَلَيْكُمُ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِنَّمَا الْخَمْرُ وَالْمَيْتُرُ وَالْأَنْصَابُ وَالْأَزْلَامُ رِجْسٌ مِنْ عَمَلِ الشَّيْطَانِ فَاجْتَنِبُوهُ. So it is haram if you want to take intoxicants. That is clear. Then what darura will make one take intoxicants? What darura? Some scholars will bring example. Somebody who has been affected, maybe is eating or is doing something, taking something, and it gets suffocated, so to say, with what is eating. And he has to, he needs water to push it down so that what? It won't die. So that he won't die. So, and there is nothing, no water around the person. Except intoxicant. Can he take intoxicant in order to wash that thing down so as to save himself from what? From death. So a lot of scholars said yes, he can do that. Because this is what? Darura. We won't give the person drink of somebody who is drinking intoxicant. Because he's not drinking it and he's not using it as what? A medication direct. It's just to save himself from what? From the ghusl, as affected him. So a lot of scholars said, yes, you can do that. Now, if there is no any cure except intoxicants, somebody suffering from an ailment and they looked for a treatment for that ailment, they cannot find except the use of intoxicants. Can one take it? Can one take it? No any other treatment for that particular ailment except intoxicant. Can one take it? If you say yes, it goes against the hadith. Laysat bidawa, walakinnaha dawun. So the man said he would prepare, asked him whether he could prepare the intoxicant as what? As a treatment. A messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Laysa bidawa, walakinna dawa. It is not a dawa, a medication. It is not a treatment. Rather, it is an ailment. So if you say somebody can do that after the person has such, there is no any other thing except intoxicant that has been recommended. So can the person take it? So these scholars will say no. Scholars will say no. Some scholars will say yes. Because it is permissible to take dead animal. If it is permissible for one to take dead animal when one is affected by serious hunger, no food. It will be permissible for one to take intoxicant for medication if there is no any other way out except that. So this is what scholars say. Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala has contained Majmu' al-Fatawa, try to knock that. He said there is a difference between hunger and what? And ailment. Two different things. Hunger, if one takes something that is haram, it takes a maker, for instance, The hunger is going to be satisfied to a large extent. The hunger will to be taken care of. But the case of medication, you cannot really tell that when you take a particular drug, you are going to get cured from from a particular ailment that one is suffering from. So and that's why he argues that at-tadawi laysa biwajib. At-tadawi laysa biwajib, that seeking treatment for a particular ailment, according to most scholars, is not compulsory. That if somebody is suffering from an ailment, is it compulsory on him to treat himself from that ailment? Some scholars said compulsory, some said no, mustahab, some said mubah. Sheikh Ibn Taymiyyah argued extensively, said, what we can say is what is mubah is permissible, not that what it is compulsory. Yes, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, تَدَاوَوْ يَا عِبَادَ اللَّهِ فَإِنَّ اللَّهِ لَمْ يَضَعْ دَاءً إِلَّا وَضَعْ لَهُ دَوَاءً. Seek for treatment for your ailments, O servants of Allah. Allah has not put down an ailment except that He has put down His word, His dawa. In one report, عَلِمَوْ مَنْ عَلِمَ وَجَهِلَوْ مَنْ جَهِلَ. Those who know, know, and those who do not know, do not know. But every ailment has a cure. How should we understand from this hadith that it is wajib? Al-amr yufid al-fujub? No. Or we understand from it, al-amr yufid al-istihbab, as some scholars of usul have said. So or we say what? Yufid al-ibaha. Just as when Allah وَإِذَا قُدِيَتِ الصَّلَاةُ فَانْتَشِرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ. When the Salah on the day of Jummah is concluded, فَانْتَشِرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ, spread on the land. What if I finish Salah and I go home to sleep? Have I violated the verse? No. Fantasia from Abdiya is what? Lit Ibaha. So Amru at times may be Lit Ibaha, but it's permissible. It may be Lit Ibaha at times, it may be Lit Ujub. But what is the absolute? A lot of scholars will think, so what? Lit Ujub. When you see Amru from Allah or from His Prophet, the basis is that it's compulsion. But for the fact that we have instances where some people did not do treatment for their ailments. Like the case of the woman that came to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said to him that inni usra wa atakashya, that is, I'm being epileptic, and whenever I'm affected by that, I expose my nudity to people. That is, I undress myself with that. And she asked the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to supplicate for her. And Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, what? In shi'ti da'awtu lak, if you wish, I supplicate for you. When shi'ti sabarti wa lak al-jannah, and if you wish, you have patience and you have what? Al-jannah. And lady said, what? I'm going to watch the patient. But pray for me, Allah takasha, that whenever I'm affected by epilepsy, that I should not be exposing my nudity. He said this is what? An evidence that at-tadawi laysa biwajib. It's not compulsion. And a lot of athar, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, when he was sick, and some people said that, won't you call for doctor? Won't you call for what? For doctor, tabib. And he said, I've called for what? Doctor, or Yarani tabib. That is, the doctor has seen me, or he's seen me, or something like that. So those that he was addressing, they knew that the doctor he was referring to is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And other scholars, they say, can we say Allah is at-tabib as one of the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So scholars of Aqidah, they discuss the issue whether Allah's name is what, at-tabib or not. So some said his word is just a kind of attribute or a kind of word, ikhbar. Why some people said no, his word is one of the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Because now the hadith, Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, فَإِنَّ اللَّهُ وَالْتَبِيبُ. Allah is what? Tabib. So the shahid here is that there are asar, that some scholars or some of the people of the past, the pious people, rather than seeking for medication, they will do dua. Rather than what? Seeking for medication, they will supplicate. So tadawa ya ibad Allah is not what? It's not lil ujub. It may be what? Lil ibaha or lil istihbab, as Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala said. So it tries to differentiate between when you are hungry. And there is no food to eat except to eat what is nectar, what is nadi. Except that such a person, if he refuses to eat and dies, you have them to be punished. But somebody who falls sick and is just supplicating, is not taking drugs, and the person is able to bear the pain of that thing, he says such a person, you can't say what, is going to be punished. So based on those asar. So Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala differentiated between the two. However, the majority of fiqhiyah, having looked at this matter, there are a lot of drugs today that are what they use as solvents in order to dissolve some of these things. They need what? Alcohol to do that. So they said, if it is going to be used in what? If there is no any other thing to be used except alcohol to dissolve it, then this will also be ma'afoon anhu. It will be ma'afoon anhu, something that. But if there is what alternative for that, the ruling of what? Laysat bidawa, innama hiya da, he remains. Inna Allah lam yaj'al shifa'akum fima harrama alaykum, he remains. So there must be clear evidence or clear sign that there is no any other way out except that, except the drug at what that has intoxicant in it. And the quantity was what? Little. You know, we discussed about can a Muslim undo an intoxicant in order to watch, to turn to something else. We said the ruling that is not permissible, taking an intoxicant. But if an intoxicant has been used and it has what? It has undergone a chemical whatever and it has changed to something else, can we use it? We said yes. This is called al-istihlal. What is preponderant is that you can use it in that situation. You can use it in that situation. And we gave example of what they call khalid. Khalid, the vinegar, is originally it was something that is what? Has undergone fermentation, and when it changes to something else that we call khal, it is permissible for one to use it. So, but for a Muslim to say, okay, I'm treating this intoxicant or this liquor in order to change it into khal, we said it is what haram. Why? Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not tell the man who was in charge of the wealth of the offer, whose father left the eyes intoxicant. He didn't tell the man to go and watch, treat the intoxicant or the liquor, to treat it to become what? To become calm. Rather, he told him he should go and pour each. He should pour each away. So a Muslim cannot treat that. So if a medication has intoxicant or liquor or alcohol in it, so if it is what? If it's small quantity and there is no any other way out except that. If there is a way out, it is haram. With ijma. If there is no any other way out except that, we said the Fiqh Academy under OIC, when they discussed this, they said if it is little, then this will be permissible if there is no any other way out. Lightning leads to what? To the case of Maturra, Tima Masachin, Rera Bitajani, Fini Ithmi, Fain Allah, Kafur. Maturra Rera Bajin, Wala Adi Fala Ismaili. So, taking it literally as like the one who is affected by hunger. But those scholars who believe that no, hunger is different from what? Medication. So they will not subject to this. So, if Ibn Taymiyyah, Rahimahullah Ta'ala, were to be alive, maybe we would have what? Supported this, because Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Inna alaysat bidawa, inna ma iyata." Now, alhamdulillah, even the scientists today, they've come to agree that alcohol the consumption is what? It's dangerous to it. They have come to agree to this, that it's dangerous to the earth. So though before some of them would say so and so, it has benefit for the body, but now they are all coming to say what? It is dangerous to the earth. So this is what? A confirmation of what the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said. This morning I saw on the Facebook somebody posting something from BBC concerning what the alcohol, though I was unable to read it, but talking about the danger of alcohol to the body. So this remains what the Sharia has said. But could there be any situation where somebody would use alcohol, if it's going to really direct, this is what's haram. But if it's going to be mixed with something else, so this is what we are talking about now. Like scholars are talking about. Maybe they want to use it as a solvent for something, or just little quantity they are going to add. So if there is no other alternative except that, so some scholars are depending on that. In a situation like this, this will be permissible. So Allah alam, one should avoid it. One should avoid it based on what the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, innaha laysa bidawa walakinnaha da'un. So holding on to this and the general rule that inna Allah lam yaj'al shifa'akum fi ma harrama alaykum. So this is on exorcisms, the ruling and the punishment of for those who take it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us iman. May He subhanahu wa ta'ala make our feet firm on His path. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Subhanahu wa ta'ala wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.
It's not related to okay. I saw the
Alhamdulillah, salatu wassalam, ala rasulillah. The question has to do with those who are into comparative study of the religions, so to say, those studying the Bible, studying the Quran, and try to compare in order to win the heart of the Christians or the Jews to Islam. Now the first thing that should be established is that it is not encouraged that one goes into the book of the Christians or the Jews in order to study it. It's not encouraged. Why? The Messenger of Allah Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one day, as Al-Imam Ahmad recorded in his Musnad, saw Umar radiallahu anhu, with him was a copy of the Torah. So when he saw this, his face changed and reddened. And he said to him, أَمُتَحَوِّكُونَ فِي عَبْدَ الْخَطَّابِ, O son of Khattab, is this what you want to busy yourself with? وَالَّذِي نَفْسِ مُحَمَّدْ بِيَدِي لَقَدْ جِيْتُ بِيَا بَيْضَاءَ مَقِيَّةً. I swear by the one in whose hands is the soul of Muhammad, I've brought all the necessary message, information, needed information, I've brought it with me. He said, وَلَوْ أَنَّ مُوسَى كَانَ حَيًّا مَا وَصِعَهُ إِلَّا يَتَّبِعَنِي. If Musa, alayhi salatu wasalam, were to be alive, he would not have any alternative except what to be one of my followers. So if a Muslim goes to the Bible to read, and they with the intention that he wants to debate with the Christians or with the Jews, such a Muslim at times may be confused and may not come out well. So that's why it is very, very important for you to know more about your own religion. What is clear today is that most of the people that go into this comparative religion or studies, most of them, as far as visual at Tawheed is concerned, they are nowhere to be found. They are nowhere to be found. As far as what the issue of Tawheed, Tawheed al-Uluhiyyah, which the messengers have come to preach, who is the messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, spent most of his life, if not all his life, in da'wah, calling to. So most of these people who engage in these comparative studies do not have knowledge of this Tawheed. Yes, some may have the knowledge of Tawheed Rububiyyah. Tawheed Rububiyyah, that is to know and believe that Allah is your creator, Allah is your sustainer, Allah is the one that gives and takes life. This is called Tawheed Rububiyyah. Allah is the one that provides. This is called Tawheed Rububiyyah. This Tawheed, most kuffar of Makkah, they have this Tawheed. Abu Jahl, Abu Lahab, they add what? This Tawheed. Allah says, وَلَئِنْ سَأَلْتَهُ مَنْ خَلَقَهُ لَيَقُولُونَ اللَّهِ. If you ask them who created them, they say Allah. وَلَئِنْ سَأَلْتَهُ مَنْ خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ وَسَخَّرَ الشَّمْسَ وَالْقَمَرَ. If you ask them who created the heavens and the earth, who subdued the sun and the moon, they are قلون الله, they say Allah. قل ما يزوقكم من السماء والأرض. Ask them who provides for you from the sky, from the earth. All this, they will say Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So their major problem is Tawheed al-Ibadah. That is their own actions, like slaughtering, offering of sacrifices and things like that. They offer these things, or they give those things to other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just as they give to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So to say La ilaha illallah, that they should not offer or give ibadah to any other thing except Allah. The kuffar of Makkah and many mushrikun before them, they did not subscribe to that. They believe that they do everything. At times they do to Allah, at times they do to other than Allah. And they justify their practice, their action. They said, مَا نَعْبُدُهُمْ إِلَّا يُقَرِّبُونَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ إِذُ الْفَى. We are not doing this except that with the intention that you want these people or these things that you are slaughtering for to make us closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At times they say, what? هَوْلَا شُفَعَوْنَ إِنَّ اللَّهِ. So they are going to be our intercessors before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is their argument. Then this, it's something that is not yet clear to a lot of people today. And that's why you see some people, they put the pictures, the portraits of their sheikh, they hang those portraits on what? The walls of their houses. When you ask them why, they say the presence of this portrait is what? Is a kind of intercession for them. It's going to ward off things like this, evil away from them, things like this. They still believe that the mushrikun of Makkah have. So if somebody wants to do da'wah, his da'wah should what? Should center on this. Listen of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, spent years in Makkah calling to this. The issue of salat had not come. The issue of fasting had not come. But today most du'as they left this. So if you see somebody today saying what, people should watch, come to Islam and things like that, or the Muslims preaching to them, they center around Tawheed Rububiyyah. Believe Allah is your creator, is your sustainer, is this, is that, is that. not on Tawheed al-Uluhiyya. You always preaching Tawheed al-Uluhiyya today, people see it as what? As an extremist. In fact, some people will tell you that what has befallen the Muslims today is more than calling to what? Tawheed al-Uluhiyya. So, and that's why you see some people, they are crazy about getting to power. They believe the way the Muslims should be recognized in the world is for us to snatch power from the non-Muslims. Now, when you snatch power from the non-Muslims, as Muslims you get to power, what are you going to do? You continue with shirk, then you think you believe that what you are Muslims. No. If that is the case, it means ordinary ascription is enough. For you to ascribe to Islam is enough. But ascription is not enough. You have to do what is what? What the prophets of Allah, the messengers of Allah, what they have come to preach. وَلَقَدْ بَعَثْنَا بِكُلِّ أُمَّةٍ رَسُولًا أَنْ يَعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ وَاجْتَنِبُوا الطَّاغُوتَ. This is La ilaha illallah. This is what all the messengers of Allah have come to preach. Not the issue of what? Vying for political post. The messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was offered a political post for him to leave this da'wah. He rejected. He rejected. As contained in what Sirah of Ibn Ishaq. So, we should understand this. When you preach Tawheed al-Ibadah, Tawheed al-Uluhiyya, you call to this, every other thing is going to watch, is going to call. But when you want to start with every other thing, and you put Tawheed al-Ibadah at the last, you won't get anything. You won't get anything. And this is the problem that the Muslims worldwide today are facing. The problem that we are facing is that if we throw away Tawheed al-Ibadah, Tawheed al-Uluhiyya, then we want to get things through other means. So that's the problem. What I'm trying to say is that most people who are doing this comparative whatever, they don't talk about Tawheed al-Ibadah. In fact, a lot of them do not know that. No talk of what Tawheed al-Asma wa Sifat. They don't preach that. The one who talk about Tawheed al-Asma wa Sifat today, people laugh at him. I think the problem the Muslims are facing is more than all this that you people are talking about. And this is your Tawheed al-Asma wa Sifat. This is what people like Al-Imam Ahmad, Imam Malik, and many others, this is what they fought during their time. They were persecuted by rulers because of what Tawheed al-Asma wa Sifat. This Tawheed al-Asma wa Sifat that our pious predecessors were tortured for. Is what people are realizing to me that no, you don't need this. In fact, it's disheartening that you see today everybody has become a mufti. Everybody is a mufti. They can rubbish this a'imma that you don't need them. So everybody can just take fatwa, they can bring their own fatwa that this is what I'm going to do. This is how I'm going to do my Islam. So the issue of those calling there, it will be something good. If they are what? Taking care of the aspect of Tawheed al-Uluhiyya, Tawheed al-Ibadah, Tawheed al-Asma wa Sifat, if they had educated themselves, and they are educating people on that as well. But some of them will say, okay, we are winning the souls so that what they will be trained by you people. Who will invite them from Christianity to Islam. And we give it to you others. But you yourself, you need to know Tawheed al-Asma wa Sifat, you need to know Tawheed al-Ibadah. You yourself, you the teacher. So, this doesn't mean that what you are discouraging people completely. Though, people should be discouraged because not everybody that goes in will be able to come out here. At times, when you are not equipped with the necessary things, as far as Tawheed al-Ibadah, Tawheed al-Asma wa Sifat is concerned, when you get to Christianity and you read their books, some of the things that they have done, that they have said, that they have concocted, you see some things that will agree with what you believe to be right Islamically. And you try to sell that to people as well as what is good Islamically as well. Because you don't know that that thing that you have met in their book is something that is what? Rubbish. Is it rubbish? You don't know. So you not bring that thing and what? And just preaching to people as what I think it is part and parcel of Islam. And that's why when a Jami or a Devuma, for instance, is rubbishing some things, you should know where it's coming from. When it's going against some what from a hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, all in the name that works, it contradicts the Quran. You know where it is coming from. Because this man is what? He's a sheer ignoramus. He doesn't know much about the deen. He doesn't know anything about the deen. He only reads the Bible and he can watch debates with the Christians. With that, he has become a very big da'i. So, if people are attacking people like this from this angle, this is something that we should appreciate. Then when people criticize you, don't see them as they are trying to destroy you. The first thing you should do is look at the criticism of the people. If there are areas that you have to rectify, you rectify. But for you to see any person that is criticizing you as your enemy, this is not okay. When you are criticized, first thing, look at the criticism. Is it built upon hack, upon sincerity? So this is something that is very, very important. So, summary is the courage. But if you are going to learn about that, be somebody that has a very sound knowledge about the deen of Islam. So that anything you meet when you go there, you'll be able to watch, you'll be able to see it. Not that you meet some trash in their religion and not Islamize it. And what say it is what? It is the same thing that is in Islam, the way a lot of them are doing today. So Allah Allah.
Yes,
the statement that Ahlul Sunnah or Jama'ah, they do not have a ruler, that is incorrect. That they do not have leader, that is incorrect. Messenger of Allah Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is our leader. And whatever he says is what we follow blindly. We don't rate the statement of any other person above that of the Messenger of Allah Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We respect the scholars of Islam, but nobody we worship among them. We don't worship any scholars. As they are human beings, they can make mistakes. So, to say we don't have a leader, we have a leader. As for those who are governing the countries or the states, we respect them. Even if they have what they are shortcomings. And that was why the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man wali alayhi wali, wa ra'ahu ya'ti shay'an min ma'asiyatillah, falyakra ma'ati min ma'asiyatillah, wa la yanzi'an yada min ta'ah." Whoever has a ruler, and he sees the ruler doing some things that are sinful, some acts of disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, should because of that says what? He doesn't recognize him as a ruler anymore. Look at the statement. فَلَا يَنْزِعَنَّ يَدًا مِنْ طَاعَةٍ. He says, فَلْيَكْرَ مَا يَأْتِ مِنْ مَعْصِيَةِ اللَّهِ. So somebody who is a ruler, is doing this, is taking into account, is communicating, is doing this, is doing that. That doesn't mean you should know what is no more your ruler. No. At the same time, you should not approve what the ruler is doing. This is what some people do not understand. Take for instance, the ruler in Saudi Arabia or maybe in Kuwait or in any place. If they do some things that are wrong, we say this is what? These things are wrong. Because they contradict the text of the Quran or the Sunnah. But that doesn't mean we say what? All people start revolting against them. or we go out publicly to start condemning them. Condemning the rulers does not bring any good to the people. And we can see the repercussion and the consequence of doing that in Libya, in Yemen. Watch. It has not brought any good to people. It has not brought any good to people. So it is something that is disheartening. People that cannot correct their own families. You have children, you have wives that you cannot tell to do what Allah says, what the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has commanded. You are yet to convince your wife. You are yet to convince your children to do what is compulsory. It's not the fact that you are the breadwinner. You are the one paying for their accommodation, paying for their feeding and their lives. You cannot correct your children and your wife. Then you want the ruler who has power, who has the military power to deal with you when you want to correct him. You want to start from there. So that doesn't make sense. So correct your own relations, your family. Then let those who are close to those rulers, those that the rulers think close to them, themselves, let these people do their own task. But for you to turn everything, you want to start from there and you leave your children. Huh? So that is what is sincerity. Claim sincerity. So when you see some of these so-called bishops, when they mount the minbar and they are attacking the rulers, just look at them. Go back, go and see their own family. Look at their children, look at their wives. You cannot correct your wife, you can't correct your children. You want to correct the rulers. So they are looking for political power too. They are looking for recognition. So Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has addressed this. فَلْيَكْرَأْ مَا يَأْتِ مِنْ مَعْصِيَةِ اللَّهِ. You should hate what the ruler is doing, that's number one. وَلَا يَنْزِعَنَّ يَدًا مِنْ طَعَةٍ. You should, because of that, say what? He's no longer recognizing him as what? As a ruler anymore. So this is the teachings of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The one that will follow blindly is the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. After that, anybody, there is no absolute submission and following to any other person after that, because they are not messengers of Allah. They may be scholars. So Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, that I have watched, having so many leaders. Al-Qur'an Muslimun, they have watched, they have Asan Banna, whatever Asan Banna says is what they defend. If Asan Banna says something that is wrong, they defend it. Open, just by the fact that they know this thing is what is wrong. Because their submission is to the party, not to Islam. Anything that doesn't agree with the party, even if it is preached by the Messenger of Allah, they reject it. So if somebody says, I'm Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, I'm a Salafi, and he thinks that way, he behaves that way, there's no difference between both of them. So this is not issue of nomenclature. That okay, you ascription that I ascribe myself to Salafiyah, that's not the issue. You may ascribe yourself to Salafiyah and there is no difference between you and an Ikhwani, no difference between you and what is a believer. So the utmost or the complete submission and blind following should be to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then those who are rulers in different countries and the Muslim world, you give them respect. You give them respect. But you don't follow them blindly. When they make mistakes, you know these ones, they've made mistakes. You don't call for revolt against them because you know the evil consequence of revolt against them. But rather, if you are justifying what they are doing. And the same thing is applicable when the ruler appoints ministers. You don't abuse them. Abusing the ministers, you are indirectly abusing the one who has appointed them. That doesn't mean you approve what the ministers are doing. There may be things that are wrong. But those things that you see that they are doing that is wrong, you have your wife doing similar things. You have your children doing similar things. You have your parents doing similar things. You have your relatives doing similar things. Start with those people first. Correct them. Who is going to correct those rulers? Listen to those who are close to them. So when you attack them from minbar, you are not correcting them. Because that method of correction is what? It's wrong. You yourself, you won't want your child to come out and attack you publicly. You do something that is wrong and your child comes and says, "Oh, Father, what type of nonsense you have been talking to?" You hate that child. But if the child has come to you privately and has addressed you, then you say, "Is a good child." What you cannot take from your child, you can't take from your wife. Why are you not doing it to somebody in authority? The one who has the military wheel with her, they have to deal with you. So this is what something that is commonsensical. So Allah Alam.
So how do we deal with the kind of oppression from building authority? Like, of course, building authority. Even if you tell them are right, like the case of one man in Mosaka, that was legally apart and was later, collected from them by building authority over the time. In fact, he will leave. So how do
we deal with respect to dealing with the authority when you oppress us? Let us of Allah address that as well. Innakum satarawna ba'di atharatan wa umuran tunkirunaha. You will see a lot of athara. What is athara? What belongs to everybody. Somebody wants to appropriate it. Maybe to his family. You see that. Rulers will be practicing that. And a lot of things that you do not favor, that are not pleasing to you, he said, fasbiru, be patient. Be patient. Now, if there is a way of tabling this thing, maybe that the one who has done that particular thing, maybe it's a local government chairman that does it, for instance, there's somebody that is above him that you can report his case to, then you report. Even the governor that has done that, if there is somebody that is above the governor that you can report the case to, you do. So you take things legally. You do it in a peaceful way. Not by protest, vandalizing, and things like that. During the time of the companions, at times, they will report some companions who are in position of authority. During the time of Omar, for instance, some of the governors, people went all the way from Syria to complain about certain governor. We have read the hadith of Al-Walid bin Aqba, that governor that will take what in Tuzikant. And he will be the one to lead people in Salah. There was a day he was leading people in Salah, Salah to Fajr. And what, instead of what, praying through Raka, I prayed many Raka. After that he looked at people, Azirukum, should I ask? Abdullah ibn Mas'ud was among the Jama'ah, among the congregation, he said, Ma'azinna mundul yawm fi ziyada. You have been adding. You have been adding. Why it will be our time now? That ruler will be watched, the talk of the town. All people did. What did they do? What did they do? They went to Uthman to report. And when he was brought to Uthman, they asked somebody, witnesses. Somebody said, "Well, I did not see him taken into the camp." Somebody said, "I saw him." Somebody said, "I saw him. I didn't see him." So when Uthman smelled his mouth was what? Smelling of intoxicants. But his mouth would have smelled of intoxicants if he had watched, not taken him. And he was given the lashes of the one who, we have taken that hadith, I think maybe some practice ago. So, this was a ruler. But for us to say, no, how can this person be a ruler? Ah, we have to do protest, we have to do this. It is the West that are pushing us into this thing, and they are taking money out of it. They tell the people in Egypt, in Yemen, in this, do protest. So that's why they can sell weapons to these people, to kill these people. Like that, they continue to make money. So, but if you address your matters, your issues, you address them, you know, in an amicable way, you address the issue in a good way, you have what? You have it achieved. And if you are able to get that, then what? You do tawakkul ala Allah. We love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why did Islam say you should do Hijrah? Why did the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, why did Allah ask him to do Hijrah? He could have fought for his right. Mecca was his fatherland. He was a bona fide citizen of what? Makkah. Why did he leave Makkah for the Kuffar? He left Makkah because the deen is more important than worship. But today, our right as citizens is more important than the deen. We can tear the deen apart because we want to fight for our rights. And that's why some people are fighting for their rights. You go and worship things that are what? That are shirk. So this is clear. Let us follow the right procedure. If there is a way you can table the matter, complain the person in authority that is cheating, complain the person to somebody who is higher in authority, like that. And if you have gotten to the highest authority and the matter is not resolved, you do tawakkul ala Allah, you do shakwa to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah will bring what? A way out. So if the way out is for you to leave that place, you leave it. أَلَمْ تَكُوَ عَبْدُ اللَّهِ وَاسِعَةً فَتُهَاجِرُوا فِيهَا. Isn't the land of Allah spacious enough so that you can watch, you can emigrate? So you can't say, okay, this place is where I will die. No, the religion is more important. So these are clear matters. Allah.
I read sometimes in the hadith, so once you have the information, I comply with what I do.
Okay.
The next prayer is morning, so we can apply it. That I want to do that is also important. So then, though there are some things to be made.
That means not permissible for somebody who has Apollo, for instance, that they can conjunctivitis or all the rest of it. Eh? So for him to apply human urine into his eye, one is going to feel it in the foot. So this is like what? Drinking urine, and it what? It's guilty. That's number one. Number two, is it permissible for one to use najis to treat a what do I call it, an outer thing that will not get to the stomach? Is it permissible? This is Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala took at length on it. He was talking about maybe the fat of a pig or so. But some scholars have said if it's something that is outer, not anything that this is not is permissible. But for this one, you are most likely going to feel it in your throat, so this is not permissible. Allah.
I want to give a woman that is traveling by the time, if she gives him, maybe she sort of plays a role before she will finish her life. That is the game for many parts.
Now the question is on a woman that is supposed to do tawaf with ifada. If the tawaf with wada, that one she can do. A woman that is menstruating and she's doing tawaf, she's supposed to do tawaf with ifada. Is she going to wait till she finishes at her menses so that she can do the tawaful ifada, which is a pillar of arch? Or she can do the tawaful ifada in that stage of menstruation? Scholars have talked at length on this. Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala in Zadul Ma'ad also brought about 8 opinions on it. Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala favored the opinion of the woman doing tawaf in the state of what? Menstruation. Because other things that people have said will be difficult. Some have the opinion that, okay, because of the people she can go, then she will come back. So let's say a woman, because of a flight, because of the flight, the date of the flight. She boards the flight and she comes to Nigeria. And she what? She will have to board another flight again. After she has finished the registration, she will go back to do tawaful al-ifada. While she is in Nigeria, the husband cannot have sex with her. She cannot apply perfume. So some of the things that are ma'durat in ihram, for instance. Or if she has done tahallul al-awwal, so at least the husband cannot have sexual intercourse with her. Then she will have to travel again. So some scholars they said this, but this appears to what? To be very difficult and stressful for the woman. So some said if the place is not that far, that she cannot go and come back. So just like the case of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he said Ahab Satuna here, when he asked about Sophia radiallahu anha, and he said Sophia was menstruating, he said Ahab Satuna here, is she going to delay us? He said this is because Medina to Makkah is not that far. So this is also debatable, because Medina to Makkah is about what, 9 days? It's about 9 days. If you want to maybe walk or who ride on camel, this may take about 9 days, because the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam with the companions spent 9 days. They left Medina on the 25th and they didn't get to Makkah until on the 4th of Dhul-Hijjah. They left on the 25th of Dhul-Qa'dah and they didn't get to Makkah until on the 4th of Dhul-Hijjah. So about 9 days or so. So this is also the debating. So Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala said what should be done is that she can watch, she can do tawaf boruratan, as what as the borura. Though majority of the scholars do not support this view. Shaykh al-Albani rahimahullah ta'ala commenting on this said this opinion of Ibn Taymiyyah is rejected. Why? He said, those who are saying the flight will be delayed, she's going to miss the flight, she's going to this is going to happen. Let's assume the lady falls ill. And the lady falls ill. Will they say the flight, she's going to miss the flight, or they will treat her there? They will treat her there. They will take her to hospital there. They will not remember the issue of what? Missing the flight. So the same thing should be done here. They should change what? The flight. Those relatives, the maharim of that lady, should wait behind. Because if she falls sick, they will wait behind. They will remember the issue of what? Missing the flight. So, and this word is a strong argument, though difficult for people to accept. So Allah Alam. That is before it happens now. We are talking about when it has happened now. That is a lady that knows that she is likely to menstruate during this period, then she takes drugs in order to delay the coming of the menstruation. This is permissible on condition that it doesn't have a negative medical effect on her. Allah. She delayed the... Yes, she will have to wait till she finishes the menstruation, then she goes to do the tawaf. Even if it is beyond the 14th day or the 13th day, yes, everything. She can do everything except tawaf. في شيء في الإمام الحديث. Now, on the issue of pictures or the issue of the surah generally is something that the scholars have differed on variously. Like what you said, Sheikh Suleiman Ruhaili said, Sheikh Fawzan said similar things. Sheikh Fawzan, Hafidhahullah Ta'ala, doesn't see anything wrong that he approves when he is in a TV station, for instance, and it's been broadcast live. He doesn't see that as... But for them to now record it and play it later, he doesn't support it. However, the fact that the Sheikh's videos are spread in the YouTube, or maybe he's in a sitting with the authorities at times, and that is covered, that is not an evidence that the Sheikh is against what is contradicting law. What involves a lot of people, not only you, is different from what involves only you. Now you are sitting with the authority, and the authority you want to watch. So you won't say, well, no, haram, no, no, no. You can only speak to yourself. That is, if you have your way, you won't tell people, come and watch, come and cover me. That is when you have your own way. But something that you don't have your way, and something that scholars are different upon, so you cannot impose your own view or watch on other people. How to explain? So, because some people say, okay, those scholars, they said what? Video, whatever, is surah, is haram, and this, and we see them, they are doing it. No. Some, they find themselves in a situation where the rulers, and it's a matter that scholars of Sunnah they differ upon. So, the issue of covering, the video coverage, this is something that some scholars do not support. Sheikh Al-Albani rahimahullah ta'ala supports it if it is something that is going to be educating, maybe something that that has to do with Islam, teaching of Islam, if it has to do with that. Doesn't see anything wrong with it. However, some scholars are of the opinion that the problem is not video coverage. The ahadith of surah should not be applied to what? Video coverage, unless if they are covering what is haram. Or if they are covering what is halal, then the abyss of surah is not applicable to it. It's just like mirror. When you send mirror on something, what do you see? You see the reflection of that thing in the mirror. And when you remove it, it goes. So the same thing can be said of the video and the lights. When you insert, you bring it. So, and you got something that is motion. Motion picture is not static picture. And this is what a lot of scholars are upon. And Wallahu A'lam, this is the most correct opinion on this matter. Huh? But ordinary static picture, that's another thing. Scholars, they differ on that. Some scholars said it's not applicable. That is, a list of surah is not applicable to static picture as well. So this is the view of the former view of Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala. That some people see coach today. But when you go to the Qa'ad Babil Mawtu, you see the Sheikh changing his position. Because this position is like paving way for people who want to use it for something that is evil. The Sheikh is just trying to address the hadith. Because he said that the surah that the Messenger of Allah is talking about, you know, people will draw, they will draw, they will draw. But this case now, you just take it like that and just press something. Is that it's like what? Photocopy? You know, when you put something in a photocopier, it produces it. Just in the press of a button. So he said to him, he doesn't consider it to be to fall under the surah that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam talked about. That the surah the Messenger talked about, it involves the drawing of that animated object. This was his previous position, but he later changed his position that it is wrong. Sheikh Al-Albani rahimahullah ta'ala also shared the position that what the static picture is what is wrong. That the static picture is wrong. As for the motion picture, they put it under what is what Barura, as I mentioned earlier. When some scholars say the static picture, some scholars they follow Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen on this. I remember when Sheikh Abdul Roy came here, I think in 2011 or so. So one of our brothers, Abu Salam, asked him something, or maybe he asked people to ask him something like that. So as the Sheikh said, there is nothing wrong with what in taking picture. So some of our brothers, they followed what Sheikh Roy said then. Sheikh Roy, when you are in the car going to airport, I asked him that so and so is. He quoted Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen. Then I showed him the later part of Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen and he read it. He said, okay, he didn't see this before. So the shy idea is that there are a lot of scholars who base their position on fatwa of Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen. You know, at times when you are skeptical whether you can do something or you can't do it, and you see a great scholar say, watch, this is what this thing is correct. A lot of us tend to follow. So some people, some of good brothers, some of them, they have taken the position of Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala with respect to what static picture, in terms of maybe the Sheikh is not in support of using it as what, as the remembrance or whatever. But what he is addressing is, can we say it is what? In the same thing that Allah is talking about. After you have produced it, what do you want to use it for? If it's for remembrance, the Sheikh is against that. Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen was against that. Who before? So if you produce it, if it is for remembrance sake that you have done it, the Sheikh was against it. But later, the Sheikh later renounced his position of who say what you can't liken it to. So, wallahu a'lam, static picture, if there is no darura or hajamatsa. Darura, maybe in the case of watch, maybe you want to, maybe international passport, ID card and things like that. Or hajamatsa, that is, maybe there is a dynamic for something. Maybe there is a niche for something. In a situation like that, it can be what allowed. But if it is just for remembrance sake, as a lot of people want to do, this thing has been abused to the extent that you see people, they are doing tawaf, ibadah, and they are covering themselves. They snap themselves. Not only that, not that they will snap themselves to hide it, they will snap themselves to watch, to upload it on the internet. Some of them have been watched in the second tawaf now, and in the third tawaf, the final or the last. Things like that. And this is what the madness that people are going through. But in Baghdad, we are what we take it with levity. So Allah Alam, if there is a necessity for taking static picture, if there is necessity or there is what harder for it, this will be allowed. As for those brothers who are taking it to be something that is permissible, we say what their position is wrong. No, we won't be asked on them, Allah Alam. Life?
Yeah.
There is no harm with that. Even if it is not life? If it is not life, according to most scholars, it's permissible. And that's why you see lectures are covered. So the video coverage of a lot of lectures are arranged, no harm. So the issue has to do with what I personally am not in favor of is the static picture. So as I've said, it's a matter that follows the far out. You can't force your position on people. Allah. Can one pray behind somebody who takes intoxicants or is intoxicated? The basis is that you shouldn't pray behind somebody who is an unrepentant sinner. Unrepentant sinner. You don't pray behind such a person. Huh? Now, is it haram or is it makruh to do that? Scholars differ on it. But it's not, they all agree that you don't encourage somebody who is an unrepentant sinner. By praying behind him, you are encouraging him. But let's assume that that unrepentant sinner is somebody with authority. That's a different thing. So if you don't pray behind such a person, you may watch. You may receive maximum beating. So and that's why the Salaf, they will pray behind Al-Hajjaj when Yusuf Asakafi. They pray behind him. Despite the fact that watch, he was a tyrannical leader. Because if they said they would not pray behind him, that would be something else. You may ask that some people should be killed. Just like he killed some scholars. So, but if somebody abused a mosque around his house and he appoints somebody as an imam there, and that imam is an unrepentant sinner, maybe a drunkard or a zani and things like that, so you don't pray behind such a person. Because when you pray behind such a person, you're encouraging him. He doesn't have any power over you. So why are you still praying behind him? You don't pray behind such a person. But if it's not, I use the word unrepentant sinner, because all of us are sinners. But somebody is committing a particular crime continuously, and people are meeting him, is what it is. So one of the punishments you can do, that you can do from your own side, that is permissible for you not to watch, not to pray behind him if he's an imam. How is that? So Allah Allah. A Muslim, the one who's the issue of his value is a different thing. It's not what is correct is that when somebody does his value, the person is what is sinful. That is what is correct. Even if he does not have the intention of what of khuyala, of doing it out of pride and arrogance, the person is sinful. But we know a lot of scholars or some scholars of the opinion that if he doesn't do it out of khuyala, that the person is not sinful. So when we are discussing issues like this, we should look at what the scholars of Sunnah from the past today to date, what they have said on a particular matter. So though what is convincing is that the one who does this Baal is sinful, whether out of Fiyala or particularly when the attention of the person is called and is shown a hadith of the Messenger of Allah and he says, okay, is for those who are doing it out of Khuyala. You not accepting that is what is itself Khuyala. It's pride. Does it affect you if you lift your garments up to the ankle or above the ankle? Does it affect you? Why are you what, shy? Why are you shy? Why are you shying away from what taking it? That itself is what? It's Khuyala. So but you leave the issue like that. Now, the Ahmadiyya, they are not Muslims, as the scholars have declared them. Their Aqidah is not the Aqidah of the Muslims. So, praying behind such people renders one salat invalid. No, it's not something that
you're not your own salat.
It's clear. It's not something that is encouraged to do. Because when you pray in the masjid, it's like what you are identifying with them. Though the salah itself will be valid. It's just like what somebody praying in the church. The salah is what? It's valid.
So maybe the reason that I'm meaning we have that salah behind people who practice that, right?
Yes, we can. There are hadith that said one of who prays while his wali salah is watching, laysa fi hillin wala hurma. So that hadith may want to give one that maybe his salah is watching. What is the preponderance that the Prophet salah is valid? Allahu a'lam. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك.